as we continue to push back the frontiers of the kingdom. Amen. 2 Chronicles 26 verse 1 to 7. And we would also be looking at the book of Zechariah chapter 1 verse 16 to 21. Now all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father Amaziah. You'll be made king instead of your contemporaries. He built Elath and restored it to Judah. After the king rested with his fathers, Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king. You will become king young in your industry. And then he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem, and you will also rule for a long time. You will have longevity. You will have integrity. You will have productivity. His mother's name was Jecoliah of Jerusalem, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. It will be said that you did what was right in the sight of the Lord. According to all that his father Amaziah had done, which means he had good fathers and he had good father and a good mother. He sought God in the days of Zechariah. That's where I'm going to. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, the prophet who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. I decree and declare that as you continue to dig your wells and seek the source and not just the resource, that you will continue to prosper. Now he went out and made war against the Philistines and broke down the walls of Gath, the wall of Jabneh, and the wall of Ashdod. And he built cities around Ashdod and amongst the Philistines. God helped him. Tell somebody next to you, say, God will help me. Or God will have mercy upon me. God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians. Zechariah chapter 1 verse 17 to 21. You remember, he sought the Lord in the days of Zechariah the prophet. So let's see the kind of visions that Zechariah had. Zechariah chapter 1 verse 17 to 21 says, again proclaim saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, my cities shall again spread out through prosperity. I believe that there are 21 people under the sound of my voice who will again begin to spread out through prosperity. If you are one of those, shout aloud. And he says, then the Lord will again comfort Zion. Somebody has been forgotten. God is going to remember you and comfort you. I will again choose Jerusalem. Somebody feels rejected. God is going to project you. Then I raised my eyes and I looked, and there were four horns. And I said to the angel who talked with me, what are these? So he answered me, said, these are the horns that have scattered Judah and Israel and Jerusalem. And then the Lord showed me four craftsmen or intercessors. And I said, what are these coming to do? And he said, these are the horns that scattered Judah so that no one could lift up his head. Anything that has limited your rising is coming down this year. But the craftsmen are coming to terrify them, to cast out the horns of the nations that lifted up their horn against the land of Judah to scatter it. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your hand upon our lives. We thank you for what you've already done and started to do in this conference. We are praying that you will percolate your presence upon every heart and every home present and do a new thing in their lives. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Look at your neighbor again and tell them, by the time this conference is over, in fact, tell them before this conference is over, make sure you treat me well. Because at the end of the conference, in fact, within the next 1 or 2 years, you may be working for me. Make sure you didn't say that to your boss. You may get a sack right now. This afternoon, the title of my message is called Understanding the Prophetic Advantage or Engaging the Supernatural Realm. The theme of this conference is called The Power of God's Mercy. The more I think about it, you know, I believe that prophets are God's agent of mercy. Prophets are God's response to people's cry for mercy. One of the apostles said yesterday, one of the guest apostles said, that the healing ministry is, as it were, the manifestation of God's mercy. I believe so strongly. But by God's grace, I am called to the prophetic office. I have seen this over and over again. And when I minister in the prophetic, it shows God's compassion. I will show you through scripture, okay? I'm going to show you a few to validate that point. The Bible says in Exodus 3 verse 7, it says, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people." God has seen your oppression and is visiting you at Wafbeck in this season. And then he says, "Who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry." God has heard your cry. "Because of the taskmasters, for I know their sorrows." God knows your sorrows. And then see what he says. So he says, "So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians." Before the end of this Wafbeck conference, you are going to experience a massive deliverance. Now watch the next thing. God says he is coming down to deliver them. But then the next verse we see, "Come now therefore," he's speaking to Moses, "and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Can you see that Moses the prophet was God's response to their cry for mercy? I believe very strongly that one of the many ministers who are online in Wafbeck will be sent to your matter. That amen is too weak. Then he says in Judges chapter 6 verse 7 to 8, he says, "And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent" what? "A prophet to the children of Israel, who said to them, Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and I brought you out of the house of bondage." In fact, I strongly believe that with the retinue or arsenal of ministers that we have at this conference, some of you don't know it, but God has already answered your prayer. Because he has put the answer in the heart of one of these prophets. It is for you to discern which one of them God is using to speak to you right now. I want to also show that prophets come to show you who you are and what you have. Many times when we are praying, we are looking outside. Well, if I was abroad, I would say, you are looking for the answer in Tokyo, but it's in your trousers. But I'm in Nigeria, so I would say, you are looking for the answer we are in, but it is in your... You said it, I didn't. Many a times, what we are praying for is so near that we are blindsided by our problems. So God has to send a prophet to show you what is next to you. We see that in the book of 2 Kings chapter 4, and we see it also, as I would read here, in 1 Kings chapter 17 verse 12. It says, "Arise, go to Zarephath, and which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." Let me tell you how merciful God is. When somebody is crying out somewhere, God can interrupt the schedule of a prophet and discomfort him and move him from that location to another location because he wants to answer a person's cry of mercy. Listen to this. I do not live, for the past I don't know how many years in ministry, I do not step out of my house, not even going to church, from the 1st of January, at least the first week. And then for another 21 days, we're on a 21-day fast. I mean, when Pastor Kodju, told me sometime before, I mean, I was contemplating how will I do this. You know, he's a friend, so, I mean, I said, well, I will do it for him. But God told me a couple of years ago that I will be doing some things with him. And so, as I began to pray for this meeting, I had such a strong pull that somebody was praying and his prayer was moving me out of London into Lagos. So that when they put Nigeria on the red list, I was like, what is this? I knew that something was, that even if it did not change, you know what? I was ready to come here and pay my own way here because of the pressure on my spirit. Because God literally told me, arise and go down to Lagos. Somebody needs you there. And you see, when a prophet does not change his location like that, his brook begins to dry. He says, see, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Which means, if you don't go there, you will not have a supply. Now, the interesting thing is that when you look at this scripture, you will think he will get there and the woman is already cooking jollof rice. The woman didn't have enough for herself. See what she says. He says, see, I've commanded a woman there to provide for you. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have rest. Madam, what are you saying? I left where I'm coming from. You say you don't have bread. Say, I do not have bread. Can God be a liar? No. Only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may live, eat, and do what? Die. The prophet had insight. So he said, you will not die. You cannot die, because if you die, I will eat. One thing about the prophetic is that, I will show you in a short while, is that God whispers into the ears of the prophet about somebody before the person even knows it. And so you are considering dying. Meanwhile, God is saying that you are going to be a supplier. You are considering packing up your business, and God says that you are going to start many businesses and you are going to lend to many nations. You are considering leaving your marriage, and God says, I'm raising you to be a marriage counselor. Who are prophets? Prophets are a gift to the body. God gave gifts to men, but then He now gave men as gifts. A prophet is not a title, it is a mantle. I say this again. A prophet is what? Not a title, it is a mantle. Why? Because we're in a generation that everything must be titled. We have doctors that have never seen the four walls of a PhD in a university room. We have doctors that have never trained in medical school. They buy it off the internet. Now, I don't have a problem with that, but you see, when there's an emergency and they say, is there a doctor on this flight? Is this making sense? And in Christian circles, we are so insecure that we must have an appellation. I won't mention the countries, but some parts of the world, anything that moves is a prophet. Or if you sing, you're an evangelist. That's not my message, and I'm not aiming to be critical. But listen to this. When people are looking for help, they need unction for function, not a title. The prophetic ministry is a mantle, not a title. So how do prophets function? Prophets foretell, and they foretell. They foretell, I'm going somewhere with this, in that God gives them revelation of things, okay? But the prophetic ministry is such that, so when we say they foretell, they wait for God to show them things, and then they reveal the things. But then there's another dimension of the prophetic ministry, which is foretelling, which has to do with declaration. That even when God didn't show them anything, they have enough credence with God. That when they say, there shall be no rain, God honors it. I'm building up somewhere. Some prophets have the revelatory ability, but they don't have the declarative ability. Which means there are some people who can see, I see this is going to happen to you. They dream, and it's true, it happens. But it is one thing to see evil, but can you do something about the evil? When God decides to show mercy or to help you, he either sends a prophet or he makes you prophetic. And let me say this to you. In the New Testament, the second is God's preferred method. I believe that one of my major assignments amongst many is, number one, to demystify the prophetic. When I say demystify, mystify or mystery means hidden secret, exclusive. So, we are in a generation where we revere the prophet. Oh, man of God, man of God, man of God. And there's something about honor, it's important. And where the prophetic ministry is the reserve of a few. And so, your problem will not move unless a prophet comes to your church. True, there's something called the office of the prophet. But let me say this. When we talk about demystifying it, it means that God has called me to help make the prophetic an everyday thing for people. If you notice yesterday, my message yesterday was essentially talking about the supernatural, but in a very relatable way. Yeah. There's a place for standing and giving words of knowledge to people. But listen to this. How about getting word of knowledge for your child? We need prophetic parenting. We need prophetic marriages. Where God is revealing what your husband is doing. I know you like that word. God is not a gossip book, but he reveals. He reveals. How many want to receive that one? Just put up your hand wherever you are. I'm not among you. I don't want trouble. I'm not. One of my assignments is also not just to demystify the prophetic, but to democratize it. What is democracy? It is the government of the people, for the people, by the people. Democratic prophecy is prophecy by the people, for the people. It was Moses that said, he said, I wish that all of God's people were prophets. Numbers 11. There is something about the beginning of the year. The reason why I do not leave my home in the beginning of the year, I say literally my home, is because at the beginning of the year, I am standing and watching to see what God will say to me concerning the year. And I am praying. It is the most significant period of the year for me. The Bible says to watch and pray. And the only way you can see the real year, not the one you planned. Because nobody saw COVID-19. Okay, not the one you plan. It's if you enter into the realm of the prophetic. God is a spirit. And in the realm of the spirit, they know the end from the beginning. There is a realm that God wants to shift believers into and wants them to operate from. I call it the supernatural. There's a particular dimension. Do you know that there is a particular channel that you can tune your radio to and you will hear God? Do you know that? Should I give you the channel? Are you sure? Will you use it? Will you go there? It's called Supernatural FM. You want the number? Okay. It is 33.3 FM. You're laughing. Okay, be laughing. I said it is 33.3 FM. 2, Jeremiah 33.3. call to me and I will answer you and show you what great and mighty things which you do not know. At the beginning of the year, you need to tune into 33.3 FM on Jeremiah's signal. Because there are great and mighty things God wants to do in 2022 that you do not know about. If you don't tune in there, you'll be doing small and minute things. And you think you're a big G. But on 33.3 FM, there are two different kinds of signals you can get. You can see the great and mighty things, but you also need to tune to Ezekiel 33.3, which says, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people. I don't know if you got that. Now, these two scriptures show that there are two things you can pick when you enter the supernatural realm. The supernatural positive of what God is doing and wants to do in the year. But listen to this. You will shoot yourself in the foot if you only focus on that. Because there is also demonic negatives that Satan wants to deposit or give birth in the year that you need to be aware of. Let me show you in the book of Zechariah chapter 1 verse 16 to 21. Remember we said that Uzziah prospered because he sought the Lord, yeah, in the days of Zechariah the prophet. And that Zechariah had certain kinds of visions. Let's see the kind of visions that he had. Let's run through this quickly. He says, again proclaimed, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, my city shall again spread out through prosperity. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Then the Lord will again comfort Zion and will again choose Jerusalem. Now, this prophecy is the kind of prophecy most pastors would typically give at their crossover service. This is the year of overflowing prosperity. Only three people on that side said so. This is your year of breakthrough. This is your year of double-double. Like Bill Winston said, he said, this is the year of the miraculous. But let me say this to you. Anybody who truly operates in the prophetic knows that in that realm, both the divine and the demonic operate. And if you only come down with the positive prophetic, you may become shish kebab or suya. If all you see is that they said that this is the year of prosperity and you don't see that in the plan of the enemy is trying to take a spouse. The prosperity will come, but it will come in tears. And so, while Zechariah was prophesying, he was coming down from that positive prophecy and was excited. But as he was coming down, then he says, then I lifted or raised up my eyes and I looked. And there were four horns. And I said to the angel who talked with me, what are these? So he answered me. I said, these are the horns that have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. Then the Lord showed me four craftsmen. And I said, what are these coming to do? So he said, these are the horns that scattered Judah so that no one could lift up his head. But the craftsmen are coming to terrify them, to cast out the horns of the nations that lifted up their horn against the land of Judah to scatter it. Listen to this. The prophetic ministry is not complete until you get the full spectrum of what is in the realm of the spirit. The Bible talks about, I believe, Dr. Bill Winston must have used that scripture. When Jesus said, let us go to the other side, do you remember? And he spoke about storms. I was driving on my way here, so I just watched bits and pieces of it. And he says about storms. If you look at that scripture, before they embarked upon that journey, he told them to go ahead. And you know what he did? He went to pray. And when he walked on the water, was that the one that he walked on the water, or he was on the boat with them? There were two accounts. But you see, He said, let us go to the other side, that you will break through. Yes, he said it. That you will prosper. Yes, but you also need to know, they will tell you that, but there will be storms. Is this making sense? Let me show you the New Testament, because, you know, I know that we are word of faith people. Okay? And sometimes we go to, you see, you need to be flexible enough to know that there are various graces and streams in the body. And each one has a strength. You know, in Nigeria, what you don't know is that what has made Nigerian Christianity what it is that, if I had the time, I would give a little bit of history, but let me just give an overview. Just a few days ago, when I was preparing a message, I did a research and found out that the largest church buildings in the world are in Nigeria. The first 20 largest churches in the world, at least the first three or four, are all Nigerian churches. 120, 100, like that. Anyway, long story short. The people who spearheaded what we know as the Pentecostal movement in Nigeria, a gentleman called S.G. Elton. Yeah. He came from a place called the Apostolic Church. I'll talk about that later on, briefly. The Apostolic Church was prayer, 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 spirit. Later, so the people like Elton, McKeon went to Ghana. Each of these men, these two white men, heard a word that this is where you should go to, and they left everything and went there. Apostle Joseph Babalola, Parkin Dayomi, Benson Idahosa. Each of these men, listen to this, they didn't just have word of faith, they had also the spirit. And when I say word of faith, I'm saying, you see, the last move of God is going to be a balance of the word and the spirit. Is this making sense? I will show you that there are some things that your confession cannot take away. Because what we need is the voice of God, not the word of God. And what gives the voice of God is the word of God and the spirit of God. Breathe on the word. I don't know if this is making sense. Why I said your confession, you can confess your eyes blue and then something will still happen. Why? Because you took the letter. But unless you pray and then you get spiritized, then when you read it, then you hear the voice. It is not every word in the Bible that is your own. When we speak about horns, New Testament prophets, listen to this, also gave warnings. When he says, and there were horns, Jesus told Peter, he said, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked for you that he may do what? Sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you. Some people will say, I cancel it, I negate it, I decree and declare, I shall live another. This shall not happen to me. Jesus was the one giving this word. That, my guy, go and pray. Because this thing will come. You guys are too quiet for me. God sent Agabus to tell Paul, he says, look, they will tie you. They will bind you up, and it happened. So some people say, why are you confessing negatively? Say, no, that's what they showed us. And when they show us, when they show you, then we should ask them, what do you want us to do with this? Then in Acts 27, Paul was in the ship. He said, I perceive this journey is going to end in disaster. You know what you will do? You say, in the name of Jesus, I bind it. Let's go on the flight. So very quickly, I want to show you within my time frame, I'm going to move like a speeding bullet. 8 advantages of the prophetic ministry. Number one, prediction. When I say prediction, what do I mean by prediction? The Bible says to concerning Samuel. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 9 verse 15 to 16. It says, tomorrow about this time, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him commander over my people Israel. And then when God told him, he whispered in his ear the day before. The next day, this man shows up. And then he says, for I have looked upon my people because their cry has come to me. Can you see? Their cry came to him. So when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him or whispered to him in his ear, this is the man of whom I spoke to you about. Prediction is when God tells you today what will happen tomorrow. You know, the ENSARS movement, and I say this with a lot of humility. Do you know, a week before the ENSARS movement, God showed me something was going to happen. To detail. This is what he showed me. And you can ask some of my pastors, because they were just before, the Sunday before, you know, I said, I saw that there was going to be an uprising in Nigeria, like the Arab Springs. And it is going to involve the youth. I said, God showed me some things. I can't say it yet, but I will release it soon. Because I thought it was going to happen in months to years. I said, it's going to be like the Arab Spring that happened in Tunisia. I said, it's going to start with the youth. I said, but the people have to be careful that the wrong people do not hijack it. And it happened just like that. Again, the thing about prophecy is that when God gives you, you need to proclaim it. I just told my pastors. But it's okay. Okay, because sometimes God wants you to proclaim it or God wants you to pray about it. Predictive prophecy, we had what we call the atmosphere of worship in England. And Nathaniel Bassey is one of my favorites. You know, he stirs up my anointing. And while he was worshiping, actually, before the service, God showed me before I got to the service. I saw there's somebody here, they are going to have a baby, and they are going to call the baby JC. JC, that was what. And so I got to the place, I didn't know it. I said, there's somebody here, you're going to have a baby, and you call the baby JC. And this couple ran to the front. And he said, Pastor, we live in Bristol. And on the way here, my wife and I, we just got married, and we were discussing that when we have a child, we will call the child JC. Jordan something. And as she was standing in front of me, I said, you're going to have this child in 2 years' time, and this child will be a prophet. Just 2 months ago, they had the child 2 years from that point, and the child is called JC. I said, he will be a boy and he will be a prophet. That's predictive. Number two, prophetic ministry gives direction or instruction. The Bible says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed, can you see a lot of fasting and prayer? They laid hands on them and they sent them away. Yesterday, listen to this. Whenever there's a prophet around you, there will be direction. Even as I'm speaking, some people are already getting direction. And like I said, sometimes God will send you prophets. Sometimes he makes you prophetic. When you're in that place where you are praying, God will also give you direction. Remember, I said yesterday about my son. He was looking for the name of a company. He was praying and he was saying, oh, I need a name. When I see that, I'm going to ask him for a Jewish name. I didn't know what was happening. That night, the night before, God gave me a name similar to what he had given him. So that was a clear direction or instruction that this is what I want you to do. The third advantage of the prophetic ministry is that it brings correction. You know, people only want, you know, have you ever been to a buffet before? You only choose what you want. I don't want this one. I like this. I want steak meat. I want gizzard. I don't want that kind of thing. No, you can't choose with God. You can't say, I only want Philippians 4:19. Are you a 4:19? You cannot read Philippians 4:19 alone, which says God shall supply all my needs, without first applying Galatians 4:19, which says, until Christ is formed in you. So, the prophetic ministry will bring correction. At conferences like this, if all you hear is, you will be rich. You will. In fact, it can't even happen. With all the prayers that have been happening, with, you know, prayer hems people. Even if a charlatan prophet like Jonah came here, all your prayers that you are praying will align him. I will tell you about that tomorrow. It happened to me. When I say correction, in 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 27, God sent a prophet to Eli, who was a prophet. When a prophet starts to mess up, God can send a prophet or a prophetic person to him to tell him they are warning you. 1 Samuel 2:27. Then, but be careful, though. Don't now go and say you're prophetic. You're going to your pastor to warn him. That's not what I said. Then a man of God came to Eli and said, thus says the Lord, did I not clearly reveal myself to the house of your father? And when they were in Egypt, in Pharaoh's house, why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offering, which I have commanded in my dwelling place, and honor your sons more than me, and make yourselves fat with the best of my offerings? He says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father will walk before me forever. Do you know God can change his mind? But now, the Lord says, far be it from me, Jesus. Because if you did not take the correction, you'll still be going with the former prophecy. And they have shifted. He said, far be it from me. And he says, why? For those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly despised. There was a particular day after I'd finished ministering, at what we call our Super Friday. People will usually queue up a number. I don't like it, but I have to, you know, I'm a pastor, this, okay, pray for me. So anyway, a number of people were on the queue. And then there was this young lady who was coming towards me, the next person in line. And as she was coming towards me, I don't know how to explain it. Something just started to well up within me. And I just shouted, Gabon! Gabon! Hey, I looked at myself, are you okay? Gabon! I felt like I was holding my mouth. Gabon! She said, Pastor, I knew God would reveal it to you. I said, what? Even me, myself, I didn't know. She now said, Pastor, I was coming to tell you. Anyway, long story short, these are members of my church that by God's grace we operate in prayer and the prophetic. These girls, a number of them, my daughters, lovely girls, some girl who was in school with them, who went back to her country in Gabon. She wasn't a Christian when she was in school with them. Now said they should send their clothing and things, pieces of clothing from them, you know, for prayers. That she has somebody in Gabon, and the woman was giving them prophecy and direction. I said, have I ever collected your cloth for me? So, I mean, look, this God is interesting. Me, I was minding my own business. And then she's coming to me, Gabon. Do you know how crazy it looks? But you see, with the prophetic, you obey. I've never been to Gabon. Gabon is not in my vocabulary. But God wanted to correct those girls because they were going down this for disaster. The girl stopped coming to church. But she did not know that correction was God's mercy. Do you know what it takes? Do you know? It's not in the prophetic whatever. The audible voice is not usually that loud. So it's God's love for her that word came like that. She left. Now, it's not always spectacular. You know, the supernatural doesn't have to be spectacular. Another way that correction comes is, there was this young man, this was about 20 years ago. Before service, as I was going into church, he said, "Pastor, can I see you? I need to talk to you." I said, "After the service." So I preached this message about 10 different ways you can hear God. It's actually in my book called Unlocking Your Dreams and Destiny, if it's still available. And I was now using an example about, you know, when God wants to correct you. And I don't know if they still have this here, but when I was growing up in our house, we had something called soak away pit. It's a sewage pit. And I said, "Listen to this. You know, God is a God of grace, but don't take his grace for granted, or you will soon become a disgrace." And I said, "His grace is such that, you know, when we used to play on this soak away tank, which has, you know, feces underneath, my mom will warn you, say, 'Come up from that place. If you fall into that thing, I'm not coming.' You know, anyway, long story short, you keep playing. Okay. Now, if the thing breaks and you enter, think about it. And then you come out. In fact, your mom will not even, she will come and pull you. After she has warned you with all your smell and everything. After that one, go there again the next day and be doing like this. And enter. Then come out and then you are full of water. Mommy, she says, go away. Because the first time, compassion. The second time, there's something wrong with you. So, I was just preaching. You know what? The guy saw me afterwards. I said, he said, "Pastor, it's okay. Don't worry. I've got the answer." I said, "What do you mean by that?" He said, "It's all right." I said, "Come back here," because he didn't want to. I said, "Come. What did you want to say?" "Yesterday I had a dream that I was walking towards a sewage pit." "And I wanted to ask you the meaning." "So you've already told me." Number four. Fourth advantage of the prophetic ministry is that it also brings exposure. Now, this exposure can be positive or it can be negative. Exposure in that discernment, which means you will know the true character of people. It's not what people show you that they really are. Listen to this, there are some people, when I meet them, I shake their hands. If I just meet people casually, I'm telling you, by the time I go home, I'm having dreams about them. Don't be afraid. I don't control it. But you know what? You can also be prophetic. He says in John chapter, and the truth of the matter is that many of you already are, but you don't understand that God is speaking to you. Is this helping anybody? John 4:15-18 says, and the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." And the woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Is what she said true? Yes. But is it the whole truth? There's a difference between honesty and transparency. If you marry an honest woman and she's not transparent, you may be in trouble. But it's better than marrying a dishonest woman. She told the truth, but not the whole truth. And she said, "I have no husband." Meanwhile, there were five men behind her. That, you know, "I have no husband." She forgot to say, "I have no husband now." She said, "I perceive that you are a prophet." I don't know if I should tell this story or not. Let me move on quickly because... Number five, the prophetic ministry brings warning. He says, when I bring the sword upon the land, and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman, when he sees the sword coming. Listen to this. The prophetic ministry will bring warning and show you this thing is coming. You know, there was a particular incident. This happens, it's happened a number of times. I woke up one Sunday morning. As I woke up, I wasn't sleeping. It wasn't a dream. I had a vision of a guy in our church. This guy, I've met him once or twice. I don't know his name. And I go to church and I start telling people, my ministers, there's one guy, he's tall. He's like, you know, in a church of that large. Pastor, I don't know. We don't know. I said, I need this. I need to find this man. Anyway, I forgot about it. I continued Sunday service. I preached. At the end of the service, I had forgotten that I was looking for anybody. At the end of the service, the Spirit of God said, don't go yet. Lay hands on everybody in this church for protection. I was tired, but I obeyed and I kept laying hands on them. Then one lady came and she stood in front of me. And as she stood in front of me, the Lord said, don't touch her. And then he says, tell her to call her husband. I said, go and call your husband. She goes to the back, right at the back, and comes back. Guess who she's coming with? That man I saw in the vision. And he was smiling. Now, listen to this. What does that mean? I said, the whole church should come out for me to. That means she came out by herself. He disobeyed. So as he was smiling, I said to him, I said, do you know you're going to die? No, I said it the way she, I said, do you know you are going to die? And unless you pray and you are prayed for. He was smiling. He was laughing. He was being a big G. Very sad. Because great family. I said, you must see me after this service. He didn't come. Long story short, I was flying back from Nigeria one day, Virgin Atlantic. As I arrived Heathrow Airport, I saw a lady jump on me. I just came out of the toilet. She grabbed me on my legs like this, started to cry. I said, what? Sorry, please, what's this? She said, I'm a member of your church. Don't you remember me? I'm the one that you told my husband to come. We wanted to come as well. I told him he didn't come. What happened? He just had a road rage. You know, when somebody drives rough for somebody. And the guy came out, they wanted to fight. The guy just gave him one punch. He fell down, hit his head, and he was in coma. He was on the way. They just built a house in Ibadan. They just completed it. That's why the wife went there. He was just about to turn 49 the next month. He just was about to resign his job. He just opened a restaurant. That was where he was driving to. He was going to open the restaurant on the weekend. He died. Did God show mercy? Yes, he did. God's mercy requires your response. Number six. Did I say number six? Intercession. The prophetic ministry, you know, that's what you call prophetic intercession. And again, for those of us, look, I'm word of faith, though. I got born again. Do you understand? Word dead, faithed. But and don't look at me as anything special. These are gifts. I didn't ask for them. In fact, when I first gave my life, I used to have encounters. I used to see all sorts of things. I did not like it. I was a medical student. It was disturbing me. I told God to take it away. I wish I didn't, because he reduced the volume. I've been begging him to turn it up. Now, there's what you call prophetic intercession. Intercession, listen to this. When these people say, don't say die, don't say this, don't say that. I see people in the New Testament who died. Can I talk to you? You are sure? Acts 12 verse 1 to 5. Bible says, now about this time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James. Huh? The people they are talking about here are the pillars of the church that they captured. They put in prison. What happened to their confession? And listen to this. It was not confession that they used to... Please hear me. Oh, confession is important. But what I'm saying is that you need to discern the wind of the Spirit. What are we to be doing here? Intercession. They stretch out their hand to harass some from the church and then kill James. Why should you be praying? When they harass, before they kill, why they are harassing? The brother of John with the sword. Then he says, it was after that the church now wisened up in verse 5. Peter was therefore kept in prison and constant prayer was offered to God. But it was when they continued praying that God sent angels and they brought Peter out. If they did not start praying, they would kill Peter too. And then they would have gone for John. Listen to this. I don't know if you guys are too quiet. It's okay. There was a day I went to church, and this was about 8 years ago. I went to church, and the Lord told me before I got there, he said, there's somebody there who has a connection with Elkanah. Pray for this person. I got there and said, who has a connection with Elkanah? Is there anybody here that has a connection with Elkanah? By the way, just anybody. You have an Elkanah in your family. Okay. That shows you how rare the name is. In all my life, before that person, I've only seen one. On the third row, a lady stands up, said me. As she was walking towards me, the Lord said, ask her, where is your father? Said dead. Where's your mother? Dead. Where's your brother? Dead. I said to her, actually, before she came out, as she was coming out, all God told me is that pray for her that she does not go the way of her father. That was, and then she started to cry. And I was like, why are you crying? She said, my father is dead. I said, where's your mother? She said, dead. I said, where's your... She said, there were 7 children in the family. 5 of them have died. And the 6th one just died 3 weeks ago. So, I could see why she was crying. Because, listen to this, she's the only one left. So, you see, whether you believe in generational curse or not, this woman didn't care. Because she was not ready for theology. At this stage, before you will teach her theology. Anyway, long story short, we prayed for her. That lady is alive and well. 7-8 years after, she has 2 grandchildren. And she will live and not die. That's the hand of God's mercy. Number 7. Prophetic ministries brings breakthroughs. The Bible says in Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6 to 10. It says, so he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Who are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Oh, I have to do this. Okay. Which one do you want me to, which example do you want me to give? This one of breakthrough or the one of deliverance? Which one? Huh? 2 minutes, 43 seconds. I'm not a magician. I will choose the deliverance one. Listen to this. I'm a marriage minister, myself and my wife. So we're called by one of the very notable ministries, one of the 3 largest churches in the United Kingdom. We have a good relationship with them. They used to call us regularly to come and do marriage retreats, couples retreats with the pastors. And the pastor booked 15-minute time slots, you know, with some difficult cases. So my wife and I, anyway, there was this couple came to us. They've been married 11 months, no sexual intimacy. They started, you know, initially, but anytime the man wants to approach her, she starts fighting him and she starts crying. I put my medical hat. Is this dyspareunia? Does she have endometriosis? Is this so, so, and so? Is it blah, blah, blah? Anyway, it was only 15 minutes, so we didn't have the time to enter, you understand, and get to the devil. So we just said, well, we just prayed for them. Then we went back to the session. Hear me. I don't just do prophetical. I'm a very, very, very normal person. More often than not. In fact, it's interesting that God, will you choose me to be a prophet? Because I laugh a lot. Yeah. Prophets are usually stern. Anyway, you people are taking my time. What was I saying? I was teaching on something like five love languages, you know, communication, you know, those normal things. As I was just teaching, just moving around, I wasn't fasting, wasn't praying. All of a sudden, the lady, this lady I'm talking about, just bang on the floor. And a man started to talk to her. We will kill her. A man's voice. We own her. We are going to destroy this marriage. This marriage ministry scattered. Everybody. Me, I went towards it. Because me, I look for problems. I went there, come out of her. Out. Listen to this. We would have canceled these people from today till next year. There was a demon behind it. We saw them years later, they are together, stronger. Now, is every marriage problem a demon? No. I'm a managed ministry. Maybe in my whole whatever, I've only seen maybe two or three of those in 30 years of ministry. So don't say, my wife, I knew it. This is what is worrying. Go and see the pastor. You know, when I was younger, I said, growing up, the word of faith, they tell you certain things. They say, you don't need to cast out demons. The word, I agree with you. And I used to try that, just the word. But what happens when you are preaching the word and then something comes out? What we usually is that we cast out the people. When Jesus said we should cast out the demon, he said, take them to another room. So I learned that the word sometimes provokes demons and exposes them. Let's stand up as we pray. Listen to this. The move of the Spirit is going to be the Word and what? The Spirit. God has called me to authenticate the prophetic ministry. What we know as prophets today are either false, occultic, or corrupt. But how many of you know for every fake thing, there's a genuine? Yesterday I brought out 50 pound notes. There's no 35 pound note. There's no fake 35 pound note. Why? Because they don't falsify fake. Or what does not exist. So when you see fake prophets telling you this, hey, and bring money aside, that means they are genuine ones. Don't let them distract you from the real.